Blog Talk Radio.
Not, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Greg Squirrel Show right here on the air, brought to you Blog Talk Radio style. It is Monday night. How is everybody doing out there? Oh, we are feeling bad, looking good. Phone lines are open. 914-205-5548 is the numbers. If you want to call into the Greg Squirrel Show and talk some sports, football, basketball, baseball, MMA, professional wrestling, you name it, we are going to talk about it tonight, because that's what we do on the Greg Squirrel Show. So I hope everybody had a great weekend. Wow, the phone lines are already lining up. I got one, two, three callers already lining up. Let's hit some buttons here. Hey, caller two, we'll get you on as soon as we can. Caller three, we will get you on as soon as we can. Let's skip to chatting and start to talking. Caller number one, who you got on the line here?
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, Granny Hulkster. How you doing?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing good, considering everything I've been through the last 3 weeks. I can't complain. So,
well, I actually thought I missed the show last night, you know, because you usually do it on Sundays and Thursdays, and
right.
I actually thought I had missed it last night, and I saw your post earlier about 10 o'clock, and I thought, okay, I'll call in, you know, and
we were going to do the show at 10, but I got tied up at my cousin's house watching the football game. Detroit Lions defeated the New York Giants. So had to hustle home because I wanted to be on the air at 11. So I appreciate Granny Hulkster and the rest of the folks out there listening for being so patient with the Greg Squirrel Show. Yeah, everything going kind of fill everybody in on some details of what's going on. A couple of weeks ago, my mom fell, broke her arm. She's been in the hospital. They had to do surgery on her arm, put a big metal titanium plate in her upper right arm, put some pins in there. Then she had a heart procedure done while she was in the hospital. And so out of the clear blue yesterday afternoon, we get a phone call from my mom at the hospital going ballistic because they're wanting to move her to the rehab hospital, and she had no clue what was going on. So we had to get mom calmed down, and then we got her moved to the rehab hospital. So mom's in a comfortable place now, so she can start her rehab on her arm and everything that's going on with her. So hopefully mama will get to come home here very soon. So that's why we did not do the show last night, because family priorities and all that fun stuff.
Hey, you know, so, your mom comes first. I mean, your mom comes first. And I'll tell you, after my long trip Saturday to Hot Springs, I was very tired yesterday myself. So, but let me share with you about Abby Mania.
Abby Mania main event, NWA World Champion Tim Storm against the legend Jerry the King Lawler. Give me nuggets, give me nuggets. I'm all about
that was the main event, but let me share with you. I mean, the whole night was just phenomenal. I mean, the meet and greet, all the matches. Chavo Guerrero Jr. was absolutely an awesome guy. I mean, very nice. It was just a really fun night. Just kind of touch base with you. There was over 700 people in attendance for the show.
Awesome.
It was a sellout crowd. VIP tickets were completely sold out. And I think general admission was pretty much sold out as well, from what I understand. They raised $4,768 for this little girl and her family.
Awesome.
And
that
Granny just
awesome.
Absolutely fell in love with Abby and her family. I made her a couple special posters. I got one of them autographed by all the wrestlers for her. Her mom took her picture with me. Just a phenomenal little girl. I mean, this child, I mean, I'll tell you, and Matt Rivera, you know, like he said, whether you love me or you hate me, he came out and he had Abby come in the ring and he just spoke from the heart, Greg. I mean, let me tell you, you know, he said, you know, next time you're sitting at a stoplight and, you know, somebody makes you mad or you're in the grocery store line and, you know, you're just tired of waiting, you know, your patience is running out, you think about Abby. I mean, this young lady, I tell you, she was so positive about everything, had a smile on her face the whole night, absolutely was adorable.
Awesome. That
like
is
I said,
great.
OMGs, they defeated Genetic Perfection. Gary Roosevelt Graham, he won his match. Johnny Morton won his match. Chavo, he won by disqualification, so Barrett kept the belt. But Chavo gave props to, you know, Eddie Guerrero, you know. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. But the main event, Tim Storm is still the champion. Jerry Lawler came out at the beginning of the show, and they were talking to him, and all of a sudden Tim Storm comes out. And, you know, Tim says, you know, I respect you, da-da-da-da-da, you know, goes through his whole spiel. And needless to say, Tim Storm kind of turned a little bit of heel Saturday night. And when Tim Storm came out for his match, Boyd Bradford came out to ringside with him. He had Bradford come out with, yes, because he was supposed to come out with Lily, you know. Well, Jerry Lawler had a little surprise for Mr. Tim Storm. Lily was in Jerry Lawler's corner.
Wow.
So, you know, the Matt came out and he had to interfere. He came out with a towel and some sort of spray or something and rubbed it in Jerry's face. And, you know, and so needless to say, you know, Tim Storm ended up keeping his championship belt. But, It was just a very, very fun night of some really good wrestling. But I just wanted to share a little bit about Abby with the listeners out there.
Right. You know, I think, you know, you just kind of rekindled the fire because, how do I phrase it? I am offering, if Jerry Lawler ever gets a rematch with Tim Storm, I, to counteract the Matt Riviera effect, I offer my services to be in Jerry Lawler's corner because I got some new toys since the days. And let's just put it this way. Matt Riviera gets too close to Jerry Lawler in a rematch, he might end up with an atomic fireball in the face.
Oh my!
and I'll just put it at that. So anyway,
but it But it was a fun night. I mean, it was a fun night. We got back to Greenwood, Arkansas about 1 o'clock Sunday morning. I took Anthony home back to Rogers, and David and I made it home about 3:15 Saturday morning. So needless to say, Granny did not get up until about 10:30 yesterday morning. I slept in.
Well, I don't blame you. Sounds like you had a fun night.
We did. We had a fun time going down with our friend and his kids. I mean, it was just a fun time. So.
Now, before we go any further, we do have to mention that the World of Professional Wrestling did lose one of its true icons over
yes.
the weekend.
Yes.
Legendary manager Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away over the weekend. Bobby's health had not been the greatest the last couple of years, suffering from cancer and that stuff. And so, like I say, it is with heartfelt feelings because, you know, kind of like most wrestling fans, you kind of grew up despising Bobby the Brain Heenan. But it is with heartfelt, you know, gratitude for what he gave the sport. You know, we send our condolences to his family and his friends. The World of Wrestling definitely lost a great one, but you know, I can see Bobby the Brain up there in heaven right now with Andre the Giant. I can see Bobby the Brain Heenan with Big John Studd and some of the other great wrestlers that Bobby
commentating
Heenan
with
managed.
Gorilla Monsoon. Commentating
yes,
with Gorilla
commentating.
Monsoon up there.
Yes, commentating with Gorilla. Those two were the team back in the day. So anyway, let's briefly hit on what I remember from Raw tonight, from what I was getting on my news feed. Chad Gable won a six-pack challenge to face The Miz.
No, not Chad Gable. Not Chad Gable, Gregory.
Did I mess up? Was it
Jason,
yes.
Jason Jordan.
I get them all.
He won the six-pack challenge to face The Miz.
Right. Not Nia Jax. God, I love her. I would date Nia Jax in a heartbeat. I'm not going to lie about it. She pretty much squashed the 5-foot bundle of dynamite, which is the women's champion, Alexa Bliss, heading into the big four-way match.
It's going to be a fatal five-way match now.
Five-way match. Yes, because
yes.
Bayley's back off her shoulder injury. So you're going to have Bayley, Alexa Bliss,
Sasha Banks,
Nia Jax,
and Emma.
And the interesting turn on that match tonight, after Nia Jax defeated Alexa Bliss, Bayley and Sasha came out to the ring because Alexa Bliss tried to run. So Sasha came out, got Alexa back in the ring, saw Nia Jax beat her. Well, then Bayley come out, and all three of them triple team, because it took all three of them to get the job done, Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Bayley has also been thrown into the five-way at No Mercy pay-per-view. I did not catch how the Roman Reigns Cena match went down. Do you have anything on that one?
They didn't have a match tonight. Basically, Roman Reigns was just talking about facing John Cena at No Mercy. They did not wrestle tonight.
Right.
Because John
okay.
Cena was not even there. But Roman Reigns was basically talking about how he was going to beat John Cena at No Mercy. That's what that was all about.
Well, And I know exactly why John Cena wasn't at Raw tonight, because tonight was also the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars, and Nikki Bella is one of the contestants this year, or this season on Dancing with the Stars, so John Cena was at Dancing with the Stars watching Nikki Bella, and I did not see her performance tonight, so I cannot critique it. But I'll probably find a YouTube video somewhere and find out what everything went down. So that's that as far as the world of pro wrestling. What else do you got, Granny Hulk?
That's about it. I just wanted to call in and share with the listeners. You know, you wanted me to call in and give a big report about Abby Mania. So
Abby
I was
Mania.
Just following my instructions.
I was looking at some of the pictures that various people have been posting on Facebook. Did I see the Space Cowboy in a suit?
You did. You did.
Wow.
Yes, you did.
Okay. You don't sound too happy about that.
No. You did see it. I mean, you weren't imagining it. No, it was a great night.
All right.
It really was.
Well, good deal.
It was really a great night.
Well, good deal. Well, you know, Granny Hulkster, the phone line is always open, and you're my eyes and ears out there for the local wrestling scene with events and everything going on. So you know you have an open line anytime you hear of events coming up that we can pass on to the wrestling fans of the Greg Squirrel Show. You know you are always welcome.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and I'll just be glad to listen to the rest of your show tonight. So,
all right. Well, there, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Give her a big round of applause. Yes, Granny Hulkster. Once again, we want to thank Granny Hulkster for calling in to the Greg Squirrel Show tonight. Phone lines are open. 914-205-5548 is the number. So if there's something you want to talk about and get call in here, we will be more than happy to have you on the show tonight. Once again, in case you didn't catch Monday Night Football, the Lions looked pretty stout tonight. Or did the Giants just look that bad? That's what I got to say about that. Uh-oh. Yes?
I was just listening to the show and you cut me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to push this a little button, and I hope you can still hear me. I'm going to put you on the queue so you can still hear the show, okay? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Didn't mean to cut
That's
you
okay.
off. Didn't mean to cut you off. All right. We're going to put Granny Hulkster over here. Let's see. I think she can still hear the show. I hope so. So, anyway, like I say, Eli Manning just did not look good tonight, in my opinion. Odell Beckham, who normally catches anything within 5 inches of his fingers, he was dropping passes left and right. But Matt Stafford and the Lions looked really good. And I'll be honest, I don't follow Detroit Lion football on a religious basis. That's normally because they've sucked the last 10 or 15 years, but they actually looked good tonight. So, you know, maybe Detroit's got something for them this year. I don't have the exact final score here in front of me, but like I say, Detroit came out with the victory. So, news out of the University of Arkansas, as everybody knows, this weekend is the Southwest Classic down at Jerry World, Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium, whatever you want to call it, Arkansas Razorbacks taking on the Texas A&M Aggies. Arkansas dragging out some special uniforms for this game. And I got to admit, they don't look bad compared to some special event uniforms that I've seen over the years. These uniforms don't look bad. It's basically the Dallas Cowboy uniform, but in Arkansas colors. You got your red jerseys with the white numbers. You got the red hog on the sleeves. Gray pants with red and white stripes down the legs. And they're doing a gray helmet reminiscent of the Cowboys helmet with a white hog on it and trimmed in red. I give them an 8 out of 10 for the uniform. The only reason I don't give it a 9 out of 10 or 10 or a 10, they could have done better with the helmet, my opinion. I think they should have gone with a red hog on that Cowboy, what I call it, cowboy gray helmet. It's the color of the Dallas Cowboys helmet, but with a red with a white hog. I think the hog should be red with the red and white stripe down the middle of the helmet. Anyway, ought to be a very interesting game. Texas A&M was in a fight over the weekend, boys and girls. I'm not going to lie about it. A&M had a big fight on their hand against the Raging Cajuns out of the University of Louisiana Lafayette, I believe. And this is just my opinion. I mean, I'd say if Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns had a little bit deeper bench, they could have won that game. The game really didn't turn towards Texas A&M's side until the fourth quarter. And, you know, they talk about having your second string, your third string, your reserves, your backups. And I honestly feel that if Louisiana Lafayette had some more players to turn to, they could have possibly pulled out the victory against the Texas A&M Aggies. So that kind of gives me some optimism. No matter how bad Arkansas looked, TCU, it kind of gives me some optimism going into that Texas A&M game this coming weekend. So we'll just have to wait and see. We'll talk about it Sunday night and go from there. Need to give a big thoughts and prayers going out once again to the Caribbean. Hurricane Maria. Yes, there's another hurricane raising havoc down in the Caribbean. Hurricane Maria, she is now another Category 5, just like the one that hit Florida. Another Category 5 about to just blast right now. Last radar had it towards Guadalupe, heading towards Puerto Rico. So, you know, thoughts and prayers go down to them folks. They're still recovering from the hurricane a couple of weeks ago, and they're about to get smashed again. Phone lines are open, 914-205-5448. Talking about all kind of fun stuff. Let's go over the MMA schedule I have coming up. Got some great events getting ready to be coming down the pike. Friday night, I am going to be in Memphis, Tennessee, ring announcing for Attitude MMA. That's going to be at the Electric Cowboy in Memphis, Tennessee. I am looking forward to getting down there, getting me some delicious Memphis barbecue. Who knows? Since we know he's in the area, might possibly run into Jerry the King Lawler. Jerry the King Lawler. Hey, let's get Granny Hulkster on the line about this one. Let's turn the phone back on for Granny Hulkster. Gonna be in Memphis. Gonna be in Memphis Friday night. And I got to admit, I visited the last time I was in Memphis a couple of months ago. I visited Jerry Lawler's barbecue. And I have to say that was some good stuff. So
that sounds awesome.
Knowing that the King's in the area, I don't know what commitments he has with the WWE coming up. He may still be in the area when I'm in town Friday night. And, you know, I got to talking to the staff. I got talking to the staff at Jerry Lawler's Barbecue, and that place is cool. Naturally, it has some Jerry Lawler memorabilia there. He's actually got, for this table, he got chairs, the folding chairs from the old Mid-South Coliseum. So that was a really cool experience. What's that, Granny Hulkster?
I forgot to tell you, Greg, who was also in attendance in the audience Saturday night at Abbey Mania.
Uh-oh, who was in attendance?
Do you remember Bobby Crabtree?
Bobby Crabtree, heavyweight boxer out of Arkansas. Yes, I have met Bobby on several occasions.
Well, they were actually at the show Saturday night.
Awesome.
And they actually recognized him at the show Saturday night.
Right. Well, you got to. I mean, you know, Bobby Crabtree, you know, a great guy. Like I say, I've had the pleasure to meet Bobby Crabtree at some of the events I've announced down in Fort Smith. And Bobby Crabtree, great guy. I mean, so, I don't think you could sing his praises enough. So very excited to hear that Bobby Crabtree was in attendance at this event.
Yes, he was.
Good, good, good deal. So, but like I say, back to what I was talking about, back to what we were talking about, I'm going to be in Memphis Friday night, Attitude MMA at the Electric Cowboy in Memphis, Tennessee. Then Saturday morning, I wake up and I drive to Atoka, Oklahoma, brand new MMA promotion making its premiere in Atoka, Oklahoma, On Point MMA. If you were listening to the show last Thursday, we had Time Dukin, who is one of the matchmakers and promoters for this event. And I am really looking forward to, from what I understand, I've got some more information. This is the first MMA event in Atoka, Oklahoma. And Travis, the main promoter behind all this, just putting in some really hard work. Travis Lehman putting in some really hard work. And if you saw the posters at the people that he has sponsoring of this, you wouldn't know it was a first-time event. Because I've been around the business enough to know, trying to bring MMA, pro wrestling, boxing, whatever, into a community for the first time, a lot of people are kind of standoffish because they don't know how it's going to go over. So it takes about 2, 3, even 4 shows before everybody realizes, hey, the people are behind this stuff. Let's get in on this. But he's got about 10 to 15 solid sponsors for this event. So this could be a very good event coming to Atoka, Oklahoma, and that's going to be Saturday night. So that's where I got that. Tell you about some of the other events. MMA boxing is going to be making its way back to Fort Smith December 16th. I love the name of this promotion that's doing the event, Soar as Hell Promotions. I am not joking, ladies and gentlemen. That is the name of this MMA promotion. Going to be doing an event December 16th. Fort Smith, Arkansas, still working on the venue. got a couple of options there. As soon as they get confirmed, I will be passing that on. I've already been contacted about doing the ring announcing for this event, so very excited about that. October 14th, the Adrenaline Fight League. Eric Stevens and the crew up in Missouri going to be visiting Crowder College in Cassville, Missouri for that big event. So looking forward to that. And then their AFL last event of 2017, November 11th, Adrenaline Fight League will be making its way back to Springfield, Missouri and the Springfield Civic Center. So that's that stuff coming up. Got to mention some volleyball that I'm announcing. Fayetteville High School has a big event tomorrow night. Fayetteville High School will be taking on the Springdale Bulldogs. You know, that's been a big rivalry, those two schools, forever and a day. And it's going to be played out on the volleyball court tomorrow night at Fayetteville High School. Beautiful gym. I had not been in the Fayetteville gym since they did the big remodel. They built the whole new gym and everything. And this place is totally gorgeous. So if you're a volleyball fan, I don't know about how Granny Hulkster feels about that. Granny Hulkster, I'm going to keep you online. You're going to be my co-host for the rest of the evening, so just feel free to chime in wherever you feel comfortable. But, I mean, if you're a volleyball fan, if you've never watched volleyball but kind of been intrigued by it, definitely invite you to come check out this big matchup tomorrow night, Fayetteville High School. Junior varsity going to play about 5:30, and then the varsity plays about 6:30. So there you go. Come out and support both these schools and volleyball. That's what I'm going to say. I'm kind of glancing down my schedule. More Razorback football. September 30th, Arkansas gets New Mexico State. Let's hit on that real quick. We got another caller coming in, so we're going to drop them on the line. Let me get through mentioning that, then I'll get my 810 area code on the line here. The Texas A&M game is at 11 o'clock Saturday morning, so make sure you mark that on your calendar, so if you're not going to the game in person, you can catch it on TV. Arkansas, Texas A&M. Arkansas's next home game, September 30th, against the New Mexico State Aggies. That ball game is also scheduled for 11 a.m. A lot of people are kind of griping and bellyaching about that. That's out of the university's hands. Let's lay this out here. That is not the university's call. That is the TV networks, CBS, ABC, ESPN, whoever. They're the ones that makes those calls. If you want to be on TV, here's the time. Take it or leave it. So, like I say, September 30th, Arkansas, New Mexico State, 11 o'clock on the SEC network. Let's hit the phone lines. We got an 810 area code calling in on the Greg Squirrel Show. Who are we talking to tonight?
Talking to Jose Kirksey.
Jose Kirksey, what's going on, my friend?
How's it going, boss?
Hey, we are living the dream, man. What do you got going on with you tonight?
Just got a wrestling practice, brother.
Cool. Glad to hear from you. Glad you made some time in your schedule to jump on the show to talk to us. What do you got coming up on your schedule, man, that you want to talk about?
Right now we just have a youth program, youth wrestling coming up, and I'm actually taking my kids out to Iowa here soon, the high school kids competing to the big medal tournament, and
right.
That coming up.
Cool. Yeah, glad to hear that the kids are involved, and, you know, that's what it's all about is, you know, getting the kids involved, finding them something to do, help keep them out of trouble.
Yeah. So how you been, man?
Hey, you know, we're doing good, Jose. Just got the show back on the air a couple months ago. We got Granny Hulkster on the line here. She's our pro wrestling connection, so she calls in here and gives us update on some wrestling events that she attends in the area. And naturally, you know, we're talking about some of the MMA events that I'm going to be attending coming up down the road. I'm excited to be getting back to Fort Smith with that promotion down there. They got a grappling tournament coming up here in a couple of weeks. I don't have that calendar here in front of me, but they are doing a MMA event in December. So I'm excited to the Fort Smith area. You know, I lived in Fort Smith for 15 years, so it's always a pleasure to be able to go back home, see old friends, and, you know, get to see some good MMA action down there in Fort Smith. And then, of course, we got Adrenaline Fight League up there, Springfield, Missouri. They got two big events, one in Cassville in October, and then November, we make our way back to Springfield at the Springfield Civic Center, right next door to the legendary Shrine Mosque. So, as always, excited to be getting back to those places. So, are you still fighting or anything?
Actually, I'm retired. Yep, I'm retired. I moved up to Michigan. I got married when I was down in Arkansas. I moved up to Michigan, and I started coaching.
Well, what part of Michigan?
I'm actually in Flint right now, believe it or not.
Right, okay. Well, just don't drink the water.
Yeah, it's awful.
I know. That was too soon. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. Honestly, it's even before the whole water crisis thing happened, a lot of us wasn't drinking the water anyway because we already knew something was wrong with it because it came out of the faucet ground. You know?
Yeah. When it comes out of the spigot brown, you know to run. You know? Hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like Arkansas water, I tell you that. That's about the one thing I miss about Arkansas.
I hear you, man. Well, Jose, man, hey, I appreciate you calling in, man. Like I say, we got about 20 to 21 minutes left on the show, so if you're still out there, I'm trying to track down Clinton Davis. You know, he's kind of become a recluse anymore. And
message earlier telling him to call in, but I guess he didn't see it yet or something. I don't know, but I did send him a message to try to get him to call in.
Well, Greg, I called up here to really ask you, what do you think about the John Jones steroid allegations that's going on right now?
Well, I don't know what to think about that, man. I just really don't know. I don't know where to put a finger. I don't even know where to start. I feel a bit of disappointment because he got busted for it once before, and the guy has so much potential talent. Any guy that can finish a fight with a broke toe, you know, the guy had amazing skills, but potential through the roof, and then to throw it all away.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
I
can't really comment on too much on throwing potential away because we both know that, you know, I threw a lot of my potential away in the cage.
Right, but a guy, you know, a guy on that level, you know, and he failed both of them. He failed the primary, and he failed the B sample. They call it A sample, B sample. He failed both of them, and I just sit there, John, didn't you learn from the first time? How many times does it take these people, guys, to learn that you can't do that, no matter what you do, you're eventually going to get caught.
I know it's a problem right now in the higher up in MMA, but I think where they need to start catching it is in the lower levels. That way it discourages the guys that, you know, finally get into the UFC to keep using the steroids because it starts from somewhere.
Right.
You know, it, it always starts from somewhere. But the only problem with that is a lot of the promotions don't have the money or the funding to pay the fighters and get the testing done that they need to get done. Which, you know,
exactly.
I think honestly, I think if it's a sport that if the state permits, I think the testing should be free because, I mean, let's face it, you go fight a guy who talked up on rocket fuel, you know, the potential of somebody's getting hurt based on you're fighting somebody without, you know, without the steroids, it goes up tremendously.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and the damage it does to your own body, not much less what damage could happen to the other fighter, because if you're, you know, if you're jacked up and, you know, you don't know your own strengths when you're jacked up on that stuff. So not only the injury that your opponent could sustain, but what is it doing to your body? I mean,
yeah.
I have heard so many stories where, you know, a fighter's passed away, and when they're going to get a little bit graphic here, Granny Hulkster, so kind of bear with me here. But when they're doing the autopsy and they open these guys up and their body just looked like a bomb went off inside just from all the drugs and stuff they've done over the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sad. It's, you know, the reason, you know, one of the main reasons I got out of MMA is because of the, you know, just in the local areas alone, I didn't feel like it was enough testing being done in order to, you know, to have fair competition. You know, I didn't feel like, I knew a lot of the fighters were dirty, but, you know, just like you can look at somebody's body type and tell, you know, it's just certain body types are built a certain way. Like when I got in the cage, everybody, you know, I was a tall, lanky guy, but I packed a lot of power, but about my body type read that I was on steroids, you know. But you get some guys who are incredibly small, but, you know, way more muscle they should have on their frame, you know.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you know, you can tell what's normal muscle. And, you know, I used to run 5 miles a day. It crazy. You know, I ran 5 miles before I fought for that belt, you know, and then I fought on the last minute.
Now, I remember that fight. You had just come off a 5-mile run, and they brought you in at the last minute because they needed a fighter to take this title fight, and you came in and you won it. So I remember what the beast you became, but you know I'm going to think talking about the steroids, two people immediately came to mind that you could tell the difference when they were on the juice and when they wasn't on the juice, and unfortunately this leads back to the world of professional wrestling. Two wrestlers that immediately come to mind is back in the WWE. He went under the name Chris Masters, and Granny Hulkster
knows
who I'm talking about. Chris
yep.
Adonis, he thinks the name he goes by now, but
the master,
you know,
lock.
He was the Master Lock, and I mean this guy had an impressive physique, but then he disappeared mm-hmm. for a while. Then he came back. And he was noticeably smaller than what he was, and that's because he had gotten off the juice, and
yeah.
So naturally his body got back to normal. The other guy, and he's a current wrestler in the WWE, Jinder Mahal. The current
that guy was mob.
Yeah, you go back and you look at videos from him from even a year ago.
He was in the five-man band,
right? Right, five-man band with Heath Slater and Curtis Axel. And it was Curtis Axel, right, Granny Hulkster?
Yeah, it was Curtis Axel. No,
yeah,
Curtis
it
Axel,
was.
Yeah, but you look at Jinder Mahal then compared to Jinder Mahal now, and, yeah, you can tell he's on the juice.
I think he's on shredders. I don't think it's so much as the steroids itself. I think it's shredders. It's a form of a steroid, but it's not so beefy because he was already big, like a big. He had a big mass about him, but what the shredders do is kind of cuts out a lot of the body fat and trims down what you already have, so you don't get really bigger, but you get more tone. And if you look at his muscles, everything's sunken in, you know.
Right, right. But like I say, just talking about your, you know, talk about the shredder or the steroids or steroid type stuff that's out there, and those two guys came to mind immediately. Like I say, it was Jinder Mahal and Chris Masters, Chris Adonis. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
whoever
about Chris Benoit? They said Chris Benoit snapped, you know, and Eddie Guerrero after all those years of steroids and, you know, drugs, and that was one of my favorite wrestlers. Believe it or not, I loved Eddie Guerrero. You know, it's. I just loved him in general, and I was pretty heartbroken broken when he died, you know. And
I know what you mean because you know Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were two of my favorites also, and one of my I was in professional wrestling for 10 years. As an active competitor, referee, ring announcer, I did that for 10 years. Granny Hulkster can be a witness to that. And the very first event that I ever, what I consider big event, was here in Fayetteville, and they had Hector Guerrero on the show.
Oh yeah, he's a legend.
And what was so cool is we're sitting in the dressing room and. They kind of made me Hector's liaison. You know, anything Hector needed, I was the guy to run get it for him. So we're sitting back in the dressing room, and the phone and his cell phone starts ringing. It's Eddie Guerrero. It was right after Eddie was still in WCW before the Radicals went to WWF. And he had just been in that car accident where he totally ripped his calf up, and so he was still recovering from that. I remember this like it was yesterday, and so Eddie and Hector's talking to Eddie, and Eddie said, "Hey man, there's a guy here that would really like to talk to you." Hector hands me his cell phone. I'm like, "Eddie?" He says, "Yeah, Mom." Says, "Hey, Eddie Guerrero, my name's Greg, big fan of yours. I'm sitting here working this event with Hector, and we were just sitting here talking about you, and you were just in that car accident, and I just want to say, man, you got a lot of fans here in Arkansas thinking about you. Hope you get better soon." He says, "Oh, man, I appreciate that, dude." I said, "Hector, take your phone back before I just go ape nuts over here." but I remember that like it was, and Eddie was so cool about it. I mean, he didn't cop an attitude like most wrestlers you think would, you know. But he was real cool about it, and he said, "Hey man, I appreciate that. I mean, hope to get back out there soon." And then sure enough, he recovered from the car accident, and then ended up going to WWF where he ended up winning the heavyweight championship. My favorite memory is the night that him and Benoit both won their respective titles, and I mean,
oh, it's not a thing. Oh man, yeah. I mean,
and then like you said, the night I heard about Eddie dying. I mean, I was definitely affected by that. But then the night Benoit, I was actually in a bar having dinner with friends here in Fayetteville, and they had WWE Monday Night Raw above the bar, and I really didn't get the gist of what was going on. But then they're showing some flashbacks. They're showing interviews from Deborah McMichael and some of the other wrestlers, and then it just dawned on me, wait a minute, they're talking about Chris, because they were showing a lot of Chris Benoit footage. And then they showed the little thing you know, in memory of Chris Benoit, and I just lost it right there in the middle of this restaurant. I'm like, I got to make a couple of phone calls. And so I ended up calling some people, and they said, yeah, man, they found it. They found Chris, Nancy, and Daniel, all three dead in their home. And I'm just like, wow. You know? And
yeah, I remember that day, too.
I remember
exactly
like
where I was at. And, you know, it's one of them things where, you know, for like a lot of wrestling fans in general, a lot of hardcore wrestling fans, and, you know, a lot of people don't know about this about me, but, yeah, I was an avid wrestler, like avid hardcore wrestling fan, you know. And
that's me, you know.
Yeah,
I mean
part
I,
of it was.
Go ahead,
part
I'm
of
sorry.
It was Dead Severin and you know Kurt Angle. A lot of my wrestling coaches actually Dead Severin was one of my coaches when I was younger, and Kurt Angle wrestled against my high school wrestling coach in the Olympics, which is Mr. Hall. So I mean it's amazing seeing those guys that, you know, compete on TV and be able to, you know, have their dreams come true and stuff like that. You know, the storylines and everything.
Mean,
you know. That's partially what got me into MMA, you know, because I always wanted to, you know, even with MMA, kind of, you know, the person I was inside the cage wasn't really the person I was outside the cage, you know. That's the only reason, that's the only way I can kind of explain it. Like, you know, inside the cage, Arkansas for that time really didn't have a bad guy. You know, they really didn't have anybody they could hate. And when I came, it was just, everything about me, you know, they had, you know, this, and I embraced it, and, you know, I took it and run with it, like, kind of like a heel in wrestling, and I, you know, I let it become my personality, you know, and at that time, a lot of the guys didn't really catch on to what I was doing. They just thought, oh, this guy is nuts, you know, he's off the rocker, everybody, you know, I remember that after that fight, I won that belt. Mr. Burroughs, and to this day, Mr. Burroughs, champions of the cage, Sean, you, specifically you, because you, you made me, like, when you said my name, I was just like, you know, it kind of lit up my head. It was like, man, I'm actually doing this crap, you know? And, that's what I knew. It was time to fight.
Yeah, you know, that's what a lot of fighters say. They say, you know, pretty calm and collected, but, you know, once you get inside that cage, you hear that door slam and you hear them announce your name, it's like, it's go time, boys and girls.
You know what? And the crazy thing about me is, it's all the way up until I hear that clink. You know, when you hear that clink and you look at the referee, and, you know, I watched film back when I was fighting. Half the time before I hear that clink, I'm staring at my feet. You know, I'm not really looking at my opponent.
Right.
I'm just looking at the feet and looking at my feet. And I can see when my archer personality kicks in. As soon as that door closed and, you know, they say bring them in, you know, they give us the rules. As soon as my back hit that gate, I know it's go time then because it can't go anywhere, you know.
Yeah. Can't run in this environment, boys and girls.
it's a scary. It's one that for anybody who ever haven't fought in the world, you know, it's one of the most scariest humbling experience that you guys can ever, you know, ever do. Because when you go out there, your pride's on the line, your family name, everything about you.
Oh, exactly.
You're showcasing. You know, if you break easily. It shows a lot about your personality. If you're a person that can persevere through damage and you keep pushing and keep pushing, you know you're losing the fight, but you keep pushing and somehow keep coming out, that lets, you know, a lot of people know, you know, no matter what in life happens, you're going to still dig deep and keep going, you know? And it just tells a lot. It tells a lot. I love martial art. You know, they had the art.
Yeah.
Instead of martial, you know, they had the art right in the end of it. And the art is the most beautiful thing about it.
No. Oh, it is. And, you know, that's one of the things I've enjoyed. You know, back in 2013, I was inducted into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame because of my support of martial arts and MMA and all that, and involved with that. And you know who became one of my best friends?
Who was it?
And Grandmaster Richard Bastillo. And I know a lot of people that has listened to a lot of the people that's heard my show has heard me mention him on several occasions. Grandmaster Richard Bastillo, he was basically the guy that helped keep Jeet Kune Do going after Bruce Lee passed away.
Yes, he
And matter of fact, when Bruce Lee passed away, his wife came to Richard Bastillo and said, "We would like for you to continue training Brandon and Shannon, Bruce Lee's children."
Yeah.
And
well, it's the only reason why that form of martial arts in the United States, too.
Yeah. And I got his picture. My favorite picture was me and Grandmaster Bastillo 2013 when I was inducted into the United States Martial Arts. I got his picture right here on the wall. You know, he passed away earlier this year due to cancer, and he is truly missed. But the one I'm not going to lie. Friday night, I am going to be scared because I am truly going to be in the presence of a true legend. Friday night,
well,
in Tennessee, Royce Gracie.
Oh, I got to meet him.
Royce Gracie is going to be at this event that I'm announcing Friday night. And anybody that knows anything about jiu-jitsu and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, Gracie's one of the first names you think of.
Yeah, the original founder of jiu-jitsu brought it to the United States.
Right.
That's when wrestlers, the UFC first came out. You see this little skinny guy in a gi, and it's one of the craziest things I ever seen in my life back then when it first came out. And I remember we used to rent the things from Blockbuster when Blockbuster was around, little tapes and from Blockbuster.
Right.
And you see this little skinny guy in a gi, and he just manhandles Kid Shamrock. And, you know, at that time, I thought Ken Shamrock was just the baddest man on the planet. I didn't think anybody could take out him. I didn't think anybody could take out him. Mark Coleman, Tito, you name it, man. This guy has fought them all and 10 times his size, too, and beat these guys.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I know that, and I'm excited. It's either his nephew or one of his sons, Kenry Gracie.
Yeah,
I don't have the paperwork. He's making his MMA debut at this show in Memphis.
Oh, he's making it. Oh man, so you got all the way out to Memphis, man. Greg, honestly, I think my honest opinion, I think you should have been in the big times, man, and that's. You know, I like some of the announcers, you know, I hear in the UFC, I like, what's his name, Bruce Buffer. But honestly, I think I think you have a voice that's very unique, you know, just for fighting alone, you know, it's when you announce people, you can actually feel that it's fight time, you know, it gets everybody hyped up. And I'm not saying it just because you're on here, you know. As far as announcers, you're definitely in my top three, you know?
Well, hey, brother, I appreciate that, Jose. Come on, man. I appreciate that. It's time to start wrapping things down. Jose, as always, man, my phone is open to you. Anytime you want to call in, you are more than welcome. Have more great conversations like this. Kind of fill us in on the MMA scene up there and the grappling stuff and everything that you're involved with up there. Because, you know, I've been following my tracker and I've been having listeners from all over the place. I'm really excited about how the show is picking up since I've been back on the air this few short weeks that we've been back. So, you know, Jose, you're you're welcome to call in anytime you want to, just like Granny Hulkster. She has an open invite anytime she wants to come in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another fun evening right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. We're going to get on out of here and join us Thursday night. And we'll do it all again. So until then, Jose, Granny Hulkster, we are out of here. Bye.
All right. Bye.